on to watch friends cry, meet, and do see them.
My daddy's program where you can get spiritual food in days that are very hard and scary. How was that, Daddy?
Hello, my friends. I'm Nathan Liao. This is our fifth program, our fifth meal of the Watchman's Cry Meat in Due Season series. So welcome to our banquet table. Pull up a chair, and if you are spiritually hungry, my prayer is that you will be given a healthy portion to satisfy your spirit. Over the years, I have received many emails, and for the most part, it seems that right now we're in a time where many people are feeling pretty beat up right now. They're hurting, they're tired, and perhaps some of you can relate to that. Perhaps some of you feel the same way. Perhaps you feel tired. Maybe you're hurting. A lot of people out there are feeling abandoned and alone. Do you feel like that, my friends? A lot of people are going through some heavy-duty trials right now. We're in a different season. And over the last several weeks, we've established that we are in a different season. We are in a different part of the timeline. And many times while we're going through some difficult periods and seasons in our lives, many people will wonder why. Why is God allowing this to happen? I thought that I was living right. I thought that I was pleasing to Him. I was trying my best to be a good Christian. And then all of a sudden, wham. My friends, it does seem hard to understand at times. And when we're in the middle of a trial and we're tired and worn out, we've used up a lot of our energy, we're emotionally drained, a lot of times it's hard to understand. But here on these programs, we're going to talk about these things because we need to put these things into the proper focus. In the book of Isaiah chapter 28, I want to read a passage of scripture. By the way, I want to invite you to follow along with your Bible when we do these programs. Our purpose is not only just to share a morsel of spiritual food, but it's also to get a hold of some spiritual truths that can become an anchor to your soul. Because my friends, the anchor of our soul is the Word of God. That's His gift to mankind. So if we can get a hold of the truths that are in the Scriptures, then our souls will be nourished and it will give us a proper foundation to have something to stand on. So getting back to our scriptural reference, Isaiah chapter 28. You know, folks, as I was mentioning, when we're going through hard times and we wonder why or what type of lesson does God want to teach me through this, God always wants us to absorb knowledge of Him. So in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "Whom will He teach knowledge? And whom will He make to understand the message?" Now, these questions have to do with His children, the people that are the children of God. Who is going to learn the knowledge of God and who's going to understand His message? It goes on, "Will it be those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts?" In other words, is it a person that's a baby Christian? Is the knowledge of God just for a novice? Well, the answer is yes, but it goes further. Learning the knowledge of God and learning to understand His messages is for all ages in the family of God, my friends. In verse 10, it goes on, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Now, what does that mean? That means that the knowledge of God is built on building blocks of experience, of trials, of perseverance, of seasons. The precepts of God are the seasons of God, the episodes of where we had to trust in Him and where we saw Him come through with an answer, where we saw Him come through with provision. And it's the sum total of all of the experiences that a child of God will go through that will make them a child of faith. Remember the story of David when he was talking to King Saul and David said, "I can beat Goliath because I once fought a bear and I defeated it. I once fought a lion and I defeated it when it tried to attack my sheep." So David had an experience, one precept of an episode of victory that God gave him with a bear, with a wild animal. So because David had those victories, then he was ready for the next challenge. He was ready to face the Philistine. And think about this, folks. If David had not defeated the bear or the lion, would he have had the confidence to fight Goliath? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But the experiences he had in his past allowed him to face the enemy of the future. And that's how it is with life for all of us. Many of you are facing a wild animal, a lion, a bear, or perhaps you're facing a Goliath. Perhaps you're staring at a mountain and you don't know how you're going to get on the other side of it. Perhaps you're facing an obstacle and right now you cannot understand, you cannot fathom, you cannot comprehend or imagine that you can get past this obstacle. But my friends, if you're a child of God, we have a God that can help us face whatever is on our path. So in Isaiah 28:10, precept must be upon precept. My friends, that means that whatever you're going through right now in your life, if you can get a victory through this situation, through your personal trial, you're going to learn a precept that's going to become a part of your faith. You're going to learn a precept that will become a part of your testimony. You're going to learn a precept that no man will be able to steal from you. So that's why these things must be, my friends. And that's why here on these programs, we're going to talk about these things. Folks, many of us are in similar shoes. Many of us are facing very, very formidable looking enemies. But Nathan, if you only knew how scary it was, if you only knew how big this thing is that I'm facing. And my friends, I don't know. I don't know how big your obstacle is. I don't know how scary that beast may be that's looking at you right now. But folks, there is someone that does know what your enemy looks like, and that's God. Jesus knows what you're going through, my friends. And ladies and gentlemen, He's cheering for you. The Holy Spirit is also available to comfort you with peace, to give you endurance so that you can face your obstacle. Folks, today there are many precepts that are going to be learned during this dark season. And may I also say they must be learned? They must be, my friends. Isaiah 28:10, for precept must be upon precept. We have to get past our present trial so that we will be ready for what God has for us further along in our journey in 6 months from now or in 1 year from now. They must be learned, folks. So I say, let's learn them. I say, let's face them. Let's raise up our hand and say, yes, Lord, I'll face it with your help. God is ready to help you to face it. Now, I know that it's not going to be easy, though. And folks, it's okay to admit that. Facing these things may be challenging, but you can do it. You can find strength and you can find victory. Now, up to this point, the things I've said may sound good. And some of you may say, you know, Nathan, that sounds real neat what you said, but that still doesn't help me because how do I get help? How do I get a hold of this strength and this victory you're talking about? You know, folks, that's a good question. It's a fair question. So for the remainder of this program, we're going to talk about these things. Because while many people are battling their giants right now and their obstacles and their mountains, at the same time, there are many people out there, and there's a good chance among those of you that are listening to me right now, there are many individuals that have hearts that have grown cold. Cold with defeat, cold from despair, cold from failure after failure, cold from discouragement. But there's good news, my friends. God also knows this. And He wants to call all of you that want to rise up. He wants to call all of us to be sheltered in His hand. Some of us may need to return to Him to do this. And God wants to call all of us to be a part of His fold, to not dwell from afar, and to be a part of His flock. And His patience desires that every heart would turn and come to Him and not be wandering aimlessly. If some of you may be in that situation, you may be saying, Nathan, that's me. My heart has grown cold. What am I supposed to do? I want to be part of the elect. I listen to your messages, and I want to be a part of that group that you talk about, that special group that God has His hand on. So how do I do it? Now what? Well, that's what these programs are also about. And in addition to those that may be cold, there are also others that may be feeling dry. Perhaps some of you may even have fallen. My friends, God wants to restore His people right now. He also wants to renew strength to many of His people that are tired right now. And when a person is tired or dry or spent, they have fallen. And then when the oppressor comes, the challenge gets even worse. My friends, for the last few days I was praying and seeking God, and I was asking God about the condition of His remnant right now. Folks, God shared some things with me. And you know, on many other quote-unquote ministry-type radio programs or sermons, there seems to be a general assumption that everybody's okay, no one's hurting, and let's just talk about happy stuff. Let's just talk about how we can reward ourselves with another gadget in this thing called life. But folks, when I pray to God, that's not what I'm hearing from Him. The Holy Spirit is revealing that there are many, many people that are part of His elect that right now, they're bruised and battered. Right now, God sees many that have heartache. God sees that there are many out there that are starving. God sees that there are many of you that are out there that are getting attacked by the enemy that comes in unexpectedly. God sees that the enemy is tearing apart and sifting so many of His people. The enemy is coming in and rupturing the souls of men and rupturing the hearts of women. I said, God, how am I supposed to minister to this? There's a lot of people hurting. What do I tell them? So I sought Him for a word for this hour. I sought Him for a word to comfort and to help address many of these conditions I'm talking about. And praise God, my friends, He answered. He gave me a lot of information. And folks, I want you to know this. The things that I share on these programs is not made up. It's not copied from others. It's not downloaded from the internet. It's from the Holy Spirit of God. And over the past few days, He shared several very important categories. These are things that the elect of God needs to know right now. Because during this dark season, we need to be hearing from the Holy Spirit. We need to be hearing from the throne room of God. We need to be hearing from Him, from His heart. So I have some things that I want to share with you, but they span so many different categories, and it was more information that I could share in one program. So I've tried to divide it into several portions that can be consumed by you and remembered by you. Because if I tried to share all of it at once, it would span too many topics for one sermon and it would just cause confusion. So I asked God, He gave me an outline to share with you, and today is going to be the first part introduction of this outline of information. So my friends, I want to just ask you to please, please try to follow along and hear all of what I'm going to be sharing over the next few weeks. Try to hear everything that I'm going to be sharing, because right now it is so, so very important. By the way, real quick, let me say this. What you're listening to right now is Meat in Due Season. This is our Sunday program. But from time to time, I have also been producing a new program called News from the Wall. And those programs will not come out on a particular day. They'll just come out periodically. And on those programs, I'm going to be sharing information of news events that I can observe as a watchman from the wall. And I will bring that information to you so that you can know what's going on in the world. If there was a news story that's pretty big, if there's a breaking news story of a major event that is happening in the world or that is about to happen in the world, I'm going to use the News from the Wall format to get the message out to you. So please do not get these two programs confused. They're two different programs. But in the last few days, I made another News from the Wall program, and I shared on there. I asked for comments on what you think of this new format. So here on this Meat in Due Season program, may I also ask you for your thoughts on these new Sunday programs? I would like to know how they're blessing you or how they're challenging you. I would like to know how they're making an impact or difference in your life. So you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and there's a link to contact me there. Also, my friends, if you have any prayer requests, feel free to send them to us, and we'll give them to our intercessors, our prayer teams. Now, as I was saying about the topics that we're going to be covering, the topics that I want to share have to do with finding victory through this dark season, through this dark time. And they have to do with learning to get intimate with God. Folks, if we can learn to really, really have an encounter with God, if we can learn how to break through the brass ceiling that many times tries to stop the transmission, if we can learn how to get a hold of God, then we'll be one step ahead of the challenge that we're facing. So let me give just a quick rundown of the topics that I'm going to be covering in the next several weeks. I wrote them down right here. I have a list of about 14 or 15 things, so let me just share with you what we're going to be covering. Number one, the first thing is we're going to talk about how to learn to get intimate with God and how to worship Him. Number two, we're going to learn about His nature. Is He a teddy bear in the sky, or is He much, much more? Is He more than a Santa Claus? Is He more than a genie in a bottle that just wants to reward His people with a lot of trinkets and shiny things of this earth? Number three, when we're referring to scriptures and His statutes and His commandments, His admonishments, His desires for our life, are they just suggestions? If we weren't doing them, is God's attitude, if you can't do it, no big deal? And when it comes to His serious expectations, would He say, I was only kidding? We're going to talk about that. Number four, we're going to talk about how to get His strength. How do we find it? Where do we find it? I get emails from some of you that say, Nathan, I need God's strength right now, but I'm spent. I'm empty. My cup is empty. I feel dry. I need His strength, but I have zero strength. So please pray for me. How do I get it? What do I do? Well, we're going to talk about that, how to find it. Number five, we're also going to talk about how we get attacked, the open doors of attack that can be a part of our lives. Is it possible to have an open door? How do we shut the door so that we're not attacked? And when I say attack, I'm talking about Satan's attack, the devil. Number six, do we have enough good armor on? Are we wearing the armor of God? How's your armor, my friends? What condition is it in? Do you have all of it? What does it consist of? We're going to talk about that. Number seven, why do we get tempted? Where does temptation come from? And when it comes, can we make it stop? Folks, I know that many of you have that concern. I've also received emails from some of you that tell me that you're overwhelmed with temptation and you don't like it. You don't like it because it makes you feel alienated from God. You wish it wouldn't come around. Nathan, what do I do? How do I make this temptation stop? Is there anything I can do? We're going to talk about that, folks. We're going to talk about the strategies to deal with it. We're also going to visit and address the question of, do the saints of God ever get to the point where temptation stops coming around? Do they ever arrive at a spiritual condition where temptation no longer affects them? Is that possible? We're going to talk about that. You see, folks, these are practical things that need to be addressed. And if we can address these things, then we will be better warriors for God. We will be more informed soldiers for God. We will be better trained disciples so that we will understand this life and the battle that we're in. Are there situations where temptation comes around more than others? Are there situations where temptation doesn't come around much, and then are there other situations where it comes around a lot? Is it possible to understand how to try to be in the situations where it's minimized? Is it possible to understand how to get away from situations where temptation is just saturated in the air? We're going to talk about that, folks. We're also going to discuss, how can we recognize temptation? Folks, these are very, very practical questions that need to be addressed. They need to be a part of the quiver of tools and weapons for all of the people of God, because our location right now is going to be eventually evolving into a darker time. Every one of us are on the spiritual journey. All of us are walking on our narrow path. And folks, in the future, our path is going to get dark. It's going to get dark as we approach the midnight hour. That's why it's important to have a light, a lamp, so that we can see in the dark. But in addition to minimized light, the darkness also means that the enemies of our soul, the powers of darkness, are also going to be hovering and cackling and trying to make us stumble and trip. So we're going to talk about how to recognize all of these things, folks. We're going to study our sin nature. We're going to study how we are wired. Why does sin feel so appealing? Why is it so attractive? What is it about the pleasure of sin that turns people into zombies that stop thinking into robots that no longer use their reasoning, their spiritual reasoning, and their vigilance. If we can learn to understand how we're wired, folks, then we can minimize the stumbling blocks that are out there. My friends, we need to learn to understand what makes us weaker and what makes us stronger. What makes us susceptible to messing up? And learning to understand these things are going to help the elect of God in their walk and in future battles. You know, folks, a lot of times when we're in this spiritual walk, sometimes it's easy to forget that we are in a battle. A lot of times the trials that we're in, the pain that we're in, the seasons of tears can be so overwhelming that we actually forget that it's a spiritual battle involving more than just us. It's a spiritual battle where there are entities actually observing what we're going through. Folks, we have an enemy of our souls. And if we learn to understand this, it's going to help us in our walk. If we can learn to understand who our enemy is, as we mentioned, Satan's out there and he's waiting to pounce. He's waiting to pounce on you, my friends. I know that at times some people place too much blame on Satan, but then at the same time, some people totally nullify and minimize Satan's involvement. But my friends, Satan is out there. He exists. He's a father of lies and he wants you. Remember that old Uncle Sam poster that said, "I want you," when they were trying to recruit young people for the military? Well, that's how Satan is. He wants you. He wants your soul. He wants to see your destruction. He's the Canaanite, the Philistine that lurks outside your village, waiting to pounce on you. Many people say out of blindness that they don't think he's out there. You know, folks, it's amazing. When we look out in the world, we can see people that have been totally demolished by a life of sin. We can see people that are totally overcome, overwrought, overwhelmed in despair. We can see people in chains of bondage to Satan. We can see people that are slaves to him. We can see people that are his prisoners. We can look at their lifestyle. You can see it in their face. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in the story that is painted on skin that is worn out, that has aged prematurely by hard living, living for Satan. And when you look at all of these people that are prisoners of Satan, this is what's amazing. Many of them will say that they don't believe Satan's out there. They will say, "There's no devil. He doesn't exist. And if you think he exists, you're dumb. You're ignorant. You're just a crazy Christian. You're just a radical." I find that so, so incredible. And even though these people deny the existence of the devil, Satan's pleased to hear this philosophy. Because when people don't believe in his existence, then they're less apt to be aware of his tactics. They're less apt to be aware of his attacks, his strategies. And when these people deny that there's an enemy, it works in the enemy's favor. And here's the result. Out there in the world, there are too many people who are attracted to the enemy's fire. And too many people are being burned by its heat. Hell has wrought a fire with a shimmering glow that unfortunately attracts the aimless souls that do not love God. They're attracted like a moth to a flame, and then they become prisoners under its spell. Folks, we need to be aware of these things. We need to become aware that those that he seeks to devour are not always destroyed quickly. Have you noticed that, folks? Satan loves to play with his food, just like a cat playing with its mouse. So he kills slowly and unknowingly. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that we should be wary of Satan's schemes. It says that we should not be ignorant of his devices, his schemes. In the previous verse, verse 10, it talks about forgiveness and unforgiveness. It says that if we have been forgiven, then we also need to forgive others. Because if we don't, then it's going to be an opportunity for Satan. So that is a whole other sermon in itself. But these are parts of the knowledge that we're going to be talking about. I forgot to continue reading the numbers of the topics. We're on number 13 now. So here's the question. Can we learn about his schemes? Yes, we can, folks. And not only can we have to. We must. Jesus has instructed us to learn about these things. So that's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to talk about all of these things. And then, after we've looked at all of this, we're going to talk about how to trust in God and surrender to His will for our lives. That's the bottom line, folks. We must be surrendered to the will of God if we're going to find victory in our present battle. And if we can get a hold of these things, we're going to come into our own, and then we're going to become children that will please God. And we will be disciples and Bereans that He will say, well done to. Folks, learning about the knowledge of God is not boring. Studying the Bible is not boring. These things that I'm talking about have to do with life, have to do with surviving life. They have to do with navigating our life in the wisest manner possible. They have to do with having victory through life. And if we can get a hold of the truths that are in Scripture, the rewards are endless. And the peace of mind that's available is worth more than gold. Folks, God wants you to become a victorious disciple. Think about that word, folks, disciple. When we saw the reference to those that follow Jesus, the disciples went with him here, the disciples said this, they did this and that. So if we are disciples, what does the word disciple mean? It means disciplined. It means that we have to try. It means that we maintain the effort to continue in the discipline. My friends, this takes work, and the lazy man will not do this. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at our condition and the effort towards our spiritual condition, we can sum up our condition and our efforts in one of two ways. We are either lazy Christians or we're disciplined. And when it comes to your situation, only you know where you are. If some of you have not been striving with the efforts that I am describing right now, that I'm talking about, my friends, please do not lose hope, because tomorrow is a new day. God has a remedy for you. God has the strength available for you. God can help you overcome. God can give you the strength to overcome. The devil will tell you to give up. The devil will tell you, what's the use? Why even try? But my friends, the answer to why is really a silly question. Why even try? Well, here's the reason why. Because if we do try, then we will find life. If we do try, then we will find the peace of God. If we do try, we will find the reward of God. If we do try, we will find the peace of God and a relationship with God. Folks, I say that we try. You still can try. Amen, my friends? From time to time, I get emails from individuals that are discouraged, and they're discouraged because they say, Nathan, I keep going from repentance to repentance. I keep stumbling in my spiritual walk. I just keep messing up. I cannot stay victorious. What do I do? My friends, I know that that happens. I know that defeat can happen to that point. And it happens for a lot of individuals out there. They go from one paving stone of repentance to the next, failing every time. Every time they fail, if they were to backtrack, what is failure, folks? Failure is stumbling. But stumbling in what? Stumbling in a temptation. It's yielding to temptation. So each one of those temptations is a different battle, and they keep falling. So is it possible to stop falling and to start winning those battles? My friends, yes, it is. And folks, if we are part of the remnant of God, if we're the elect of God, we need to rise above these things. And again, my friends, there is ammunition out there that is available so that you can fight to win the next time. If some of you may be in this situation, you can overcome. You can, my friends. But the key is to become aware of how stumbling will come. We need to learn an awareness of how failure comes, how it happens, why it happens. Folks, we can actually learn these things. When I was praying over the last several days, God gave me a lot of insight. He shared a lot of incredible information that is found in the Scriptures. And as we cover these things in the next few weeks, we're going to look at scriptural truths that's going to talk about all this. We're going to lay it all out. God has given us the tools so that we can understand it. So my friends, I want you to be encouraged. It is possible to get a hold of knowledge so that we can have victory in our future. We can learn how, my friends, because when we really look at these battles where stumbling happens, really what they are individual episodes, individual sparring matches, individual encounters. And if we were to look at two men who were boxing each other, and if one of the men was to knock the other man out, after the guy woke up and his trainer went to him, and he asked the trainer, why did I get knocked out? And the trainer could say, well, let's look at the videotape and let's see what you did wrong. And when they look at the videotape, his trainer could say, well, look what happened right here. He would be told by his trainer that either he didn't duck, or he didn't block in time, or he was looking the other way. He wasn't expecting it. He wasn't fast enough. He wasn't anticipating that he was going to get punched. And by being able to look at the truth, if this boxer who wanted to be trained was willing to look at the truth of where his weakness was, and if he tried to overcome that, and if he tried to train and get better and better so that it didn't happen again, then he would be fully trained. And my friends, what we have to do in our spiritual walk is to learn how to anticipate the attacks from Satan. And we need to learn to anticipate that the attacks are going to come. So what we need to do is to try to understand and to learn about all the different ways that they can come. Folks, that punch is going to arrive. So we need to learn how to be ready for it. But what does this mean? It means that number one, we need to be paying attention. So here's the question, folks. Is it possible to spiritually pay attention? Is it possible for us to put the effort into paying attention? The answer is yes. Is it also possible to know how failure can come, how it happens? Again, yes. So if we can get a hold of some of these tools and if we can understand them, then we're going to be more formidable opponents to the enemy, my friends. And we can gain experience and knowledge for battle, for the fight, for our walk, and for our journey. Folks, this is good news. The things that I'm sharing right now are good news. This is offering hope for those of you that are discouraged in your walk. The remnant of God does not mean that they have never fallen. Those that are a part of the remnant of God, that are a part of the elect of God, are not a part of this group because they're perfect and they have never stumbled. Those that are a part of the remnant and the elect of God are those that have learned how to overcome their stumblings. And my friends, right now in this season, God wants us to learn how to overcome. He knows you've blown it, but he hasn't given up on you. He's providing the tools, my friends, so the things that we're talking about here are going to give strength to many, many people, to many of you. Folks, God revealed this. He wants to see you strong. So we're going to get strong, and we're going to get trained, and we're going to get victorious. Folks, we are not of this world. My friends, if you're a child of God, you are not of this world. Out there in the world, outside the walls of your house, along the streets, if you're driving right now, if you're walking, we are a part of the bride of Christ, and we think different. In Psalms 14:1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God." That's how the world thinks. There's no God. They try to tell themselves that. There's no God, and therefore, if there's no God, there are no rules for me. That's what they think, folks. But we can also see the results of that logic. The Bible says that they are fools for thinking that way. The verse goes on. Psalms 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." So when an individual tries to convince themselves that there's no God, then it affects their mentality. It basically turns them into an animalistic mentality because they don't try. They don't try to be pure. They don't try to follow the morality of God. They don't try to follow the statutes of God. If there's no God, then they're animals. So as a result, they're corrupt and they do abominable works. None of them do good. Folks, when the world thinks that there's no God, then they're going to reveal themselves with bad actions, with corruption, with destruction. Folks, right here, God is letting us know one of the causes of iniquity in the world, among people. What is it? The denial of God. And when people deny God, they have nothing to aim for. They have no one to please. But folks, this is the thing that we need to keep in mind. We do have someone to please. We do know that there's a God. And we do know that since there is a God, we do not have license to act like the world. And up to this point, there may be some of you that have not challenged yourself to stop acting like the world. But my friends, God does not want us to act like the world. He doesn't want us to act in corruption. He doesn't want us to act out abominable works. Psalms 14 goes on in verse 2. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek God." What is that telling us? It means that God is looking for people that want to understand Him, that want to seek Him. My friends, these things that I'm sharing right now have to do with understanding the heart of God. All of these topics that I just mentioned are from the Bible. And if we can get a hold of these topics, if we can get a hold of the truths in these topics, then we will be understanding Him and we will be pleasing to Him. Now, as I was saying earlier, there's a lot of things to remember in all of these topics. I was asking God, "God, how can we remember all of these? Because that's a lot of stuff." And the Holy Spirit brought to mind a way to remember all of these topics. And I was quite surprised, folks. God said all of those topics are found in the Lord's Prayer. So I looked up the Lord's Prayer, and in Matthew chapter 6, it has the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer real quickly, but we're not going to start dissecting it yet. In the next few weeks, we're going to go line by line, and we're going to see all of the truths that are found in the Lord's Prayer. And folks, the amazing thing, when I was reading this and when I was praying, the Holy Spirit was revealing that there's probably several hundred sermons that could be gleaned from the Lord's Prayer. It was incredible. There is so much powerful information that's in the Lord's Prayer. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read it to get an introduction to it, and then I'm going to briefly share the truth that's in there. So folks, turn to it right now. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Are you there, folks? Verse 7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him." Verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And here it is, folks. I'm sure most of you haven't memorized, but let's go ahead and read it. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's the Lord's Prayer. Most of you have it memorized. Millions of people pray this prayer every day. And on the surface, the content of this prayer is very beautiful. But as I have stated in many of my messages, my friends, the Holy Scriptures, they're made up of spiritual layers. There's a surface layer of the letter, and then below that layer, there are shadows, and there are truths, and there are nuggets. The Word of God is a treasure chest of information from the mind of God, from the heartbeat of God. So when we look at the Lord's Prayer, on the surface, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful poetic prayer. But when we look at it as an outline, and if we can see it as an outline, then it opens up a whole new meaning. And what I mean by outline is if we can see that each portion of the prayer is a category in itself of things that we should pray about and address. In other words, the Lord's Prayer is a basic outline of reminders of the subject category that we should cover when we're praying. So as an example, it starts out with "Our Father who art in heaven." What does that mean? Well, think about the second word, "Our Father." If we call God our Father, that means then we're His children. And if we consider ourselves children of God, that means that we have to have been born again. The Bible says in John 1:12, "Those that have received Him, to them gave He power to be called the sons of God, the children of God." So the Lord's Prayer starts out with the understanding that it applies to those that are children of God. Now, does that mean everybody is a child of God? Of course not. John 1:12 says, "To those that have received Him, They're the ones that are the children of God. So if an individual who lives out in the world, whose lifestyle fulfills Psalms 14:1, which is the verse we read a few moments ago, the fool has said in his heart there's no God. Well, that individual in Psalms 14:1 is not a child of God. So if that individual were to pray the Lord's Prayer, it would not apply to them because they are not a child of God. Now, I know that in the progressive way of liberal thinking, there's the mentality that every human being is a child of God. God is our Father, and everything's hunky-dory, and all of us can sit around and sing Kumbaya, and no matter what our lifestyle is, we're accepted by God, children of God. Folks, that's not true. That is a lie. We cannot just live any way that we want. If we want to live according to the ways that are an abomination to God, if we want to be whoremongers or fornicators or adulterers, folks, the Bible tells us that those who practice those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So in the Lord's Prayer, what it says, our Father in heaven, step one, if we're going to take advantage of prayer to God, we need to be his child. We need to be born again. That means that we need to have repented. Repented, folks. That's step one. Now, how to repent and the conditions of repentance, I've talked about that in previous programs. If you want to know about repentance, my Meet in Due Season program number 2 and number 3 talked about repentance. So you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and go to the audio link, and then you can find the library of previous Meet in Due Season episodes. So number one, my friends, we need to be the children of God. Because here's another thing, folks. A person that cries out to God, if they cry out to God in repentance and they call out to the Lord to be saved in repentance, God's going to hear them if they're crying out in repentance. But if they're just crying out for novel items, for example, if you have a person and he lives like the devil and every night he goes out carousing and then he finds himself in trouble and he cries out to God for rescue from his trouble, and if his prayer does not consist of repentance and it's just consisting of, God, get me out of this mess, or make my girlfriend love me, or do this or that for me, and it has nothing to do with the condition of his soul, there's a possibility that God's not going to hear their prayer. Now, some might be saying, Nathan, that's not very nice. God hears the prayer of everyone. Well, actually, my friends, that's not what the Bible says, because in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You see, folks, a sinful life will separate us from God. So step one of the Lord's Prayer, my friends, our Father. Right there, that means that we're talking about children of God. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about people who have repented. So if some of you could say to me, Nathan, whenever I pray, I don't think God hears me. I don't think God's answering my prayer. I don't think God's paying attention to me. Then, my friends, may I offer the suggestion that maybe, possibly, you need to do some soul searching and see if there's iniquities that are separating you from God? You know, folks, that's a whole other sermon, but there are a lot of different episodes and situations where our prayers can be hindered if we have the wrong environment happening in our lives, if we have the wrong ingredients in our life. There's a lot of things that will hinder that. And I'm not going to go into them right now, but in the future programs, we're going to talk about all of those things. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does hallow mean? Hallow means to honor, to worship, to acknowledge his majesty. Hallowed be thy name means we're admitting he's in charge. He's the creator. He's God. He's the final say. He's the great I am. And he's the one that we acknowledge and that we worship. So our prayers start out with acknowledging that we're his children, which would cover the need for repentance. And then the next part, hallowed be thy name, covers worship. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about how to worship. What is the purpose of worship? Worship is a weapon, my friends. Worship is a very, very powerful weapon to the child of God. Worship can be the difference between having a nervous breakdown or finding the peace of God. Worship is very beautiful and it's powerful and it's available for all of us. We're going to talk about that. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Right there, that could be many, many sermons, my friends. The kingdom of God is coming. It has come. His will in our lives, his will being done in our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. His will being accomplished in heaven and on earth, what does that mean? God does have an established destiny for all of us. He has a plan for all of us. He has a plan for you, my friends. God has a will for you. He has a perfect will. And if he has a perfect will, that means he has your life mapped out. That means he has an outcome that will be fulfilling to you. He has an outcome for you. He has a plan for you where he could use you mightily to make a difference in this world. He can use you in ministry. He can use you to affect lives, to affect those around you, to be a person that matters in this world and not just someone that's just using up the oxygen. You know, there's a term that the New World Order uses to describe the commoners, the peasants of the world. The term that they use is useless eaters, meaning that we're just cattle taking up space and eating a little portion of grass. We're useless. But you know, folks, when it comes to the kingdom of God, God has a plan for your life. But if we do not find the will of God in our lives, if we do not seek the will of God in our lives, then there's a chance that we will be bypassing the best outcome for our life. So how do we find those things? How do we find out about the will of God? That's what part of this journey is all about, finding the will of God. And that's a whole other sermon. That's several sermons. We're going to talk about those things. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Right there, my friends, that has so much information. That is loaded with information. That is a hint of God's desire for our lives. Give us daily bread. Now, traditionally and fundamentally, most people, when they read that verse, give us this day our daily bread, on the surface, it is talking about his provision to feed us, to take care of us, to provide food for us, to provide sustenance, to provide the means for us to find food in this world so that we can feed our families. It can go into providing employment for us, a job for us, so that we can be gainfully employed and do our part as providers. If you're a husband, to be a provider for your family. It goes into that. On the surface, give us this day our daily bread. But below the surface in the spiritual realm, it goes much, much deeper, my friends. The daily bread of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What did that mean? He was talking about spiritual food. There's a lot of information that God gave me about this topic, the daily bread, that is so, so important. My friends, in the spiritual realm, daily bread is very, very necessary for our survival. Part of the battle that we're going to be going through during this dark season, part of the battle that many of you face right now, one of the remedies, one of the most important remedies that we can use to nourish us, to give us the strength to endure, is spiritual daily bread. It's so important, my friends, and we're going to be talking about that. Nourishment from God, nourishment from heaven, manna from heaven that can give you the added strength of endurance, that can touch your heart and feed your soul and give you the insight and the wisdom to be able to continue in your walk. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a whole other sermon. In fact, that's many, many other sermons. If God forgives us, then we must forgive others. That means that we must deal with our relationships, relationship issues. This is one of the hard challenges of adulthood, of just living on this planet. One of the hardest things to deal with as a grown-up is that we will encounter people that will not be very nice to you from time to time. We will encounter people that hurt us. And most likely already, every one of us could recite many stories of how we were hurt and injured by others, how we were betrayed. Many of you were hurt. Many of you were betrayed. You were left in ruins by another individual. Many of you have gone through the struggle of the pain of marital breakdown. Some of you are dealing with it right now. Some of you are in the aftermath of it. Some of you are in the ashes of it. Every one of us has a story, folks, but in our Christian walk, we're going to talk about those things and we're going to try to get a godly perspective to help us overcome these battles that we're facing. And folks, I'm not going to minimize the pain that you've gone through. Those stories are true. Those stories are real, and those stories hurt. Many of you are still enduring the shadows of the past, and you're enduring those demons that try to rise up and come back and resurrect themselves. We're going to be dealing with those things, folks. And with the help of God, we're going to work on them. Some of you have to do a lot of work on them, but we're going to address them and shine the light on them, my friends. The thing that we cannot do is try to act like they're not there, to try to minimize them, to hide them under the rug or in the closet. Folks, we can't do that. We must deal with all of those things. And we're going to talk about them. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one, from Satan. Temptation, folks. I mentioned in my earlier list the elements of temptation, how it arises, how it affects us, how it taunts us, how it tries to appeal to the nature that envelops us as humans, how our tent desires things that are not part of the walk of God, how they are in constant battle with one another, our spirit versus the flesh. It's a hard battle, folks, but we need to understand these things. We need to understand why it happens, how to find the weapons to overcome it. We're also going to talk about the enemy, Satan, the one that hates your souls. Moving on, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's several sermons in itself also. Thine is the kingdom. Heavenly Father, it's your kingdom. You're the creator of your kingdom. It's yours. You built it. You created it. It wasn't created by human hands. It wasn't created by the proceeds of tax revenue. It wasn't created by the mandates of politicians. It is your kingdom. It's not of this earth. It is a country that waits for us after this life. And it's your kingdom also that's within our hearts for those of us that have been redeemed by you. And it's your power that is available for us. It's your glory that's available for us to tap into, for us to taste of and see that you are good, O God. Folks, it's God's kingdom. And if it's his kingdom, that means that the entire plan is his plan. And if he's big enough to create the whole universe, if he's big enough to hang the earth on nothing, if he's big enough to hang the moon up in the sky, and if he's big enough to light the stars, then he is big enough to handle our battle. He's big enough to give you the strength in your journey. He's big enough to take you by the hand and to pick you back up. Even though you may be lame and bruised and battered and defeated, even though you may have feeble hands that hang down, God has the strength for you, my friend, because he loves you. He loves every one of you that are listening. He wants to be the Father that provides for us, the Father that we can depend on, the Father that we look up to. The things we're going to talk about are some of the most important messages that I could share, because it could make the difference between a soul having victory and going to heaven or quitting and giving up and going to hell and being defeated in this life and being discouraged in this life. As I was praying, the Holy Spirit revealed that many individuals out there, many of those of you that are listening, are dry with empty lamps. God said many of them are hungry, they're starving, they're running on empty. They don't have a proper diet. They have no spiritual meals. They have lean meals, some morsels here and there. But my friends, God wants you to be fed. And we cannot be a victorious bride if we are gaunt and malnourished. My friends, the bride of Christ cannot look like a bunch of Holocaust victims down to skin and bones. God wants us to have a meal, my friends. And that's what these messages are about. Meat in due season. God wants to prepare a table, a meal for all of us. And he says that in his word. He prepares for us a table in the wilderness, in the midst of our enemies. Folks, it doesn't matter if we have enemies. God will provide you a table in the midst of your enemies, and he will feed you. So my friends, let's eat and be nourished. Let's eat and find victory. Let's eat and find our place in his will. My friends, I'm excited about the things we're going to be talking about, and I pray that you would also become excited about what God is doing here at Watchman's Cry Ministries. And I'm praying that thousands and thousands of souls will be blessed by these messages and touched by these messages and fed by these messages. But my friends, I cannot do this alone. I need your help to share these messages with your friends and your loved ones and your family. Share them with everyone that you know, my friends. There are so many people that are shut-ins, that are in the wilderness, and that have no place to go for spiritual food. And the purpose of this ministry and these messages is to bring these healthy meals to every one of those people that are out there. So share them, folks. You're free to download them. You're free to share them any way that you want, but get these messages out there. Folks, if you are getting fed by these messages, we not only appreciate your support, God appreciates your efforts to help us continue this work. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Well, folks, it looks like we're out of time now, but I'm excited about what God is doing, and I pray that you would also look forward to what God is going to be bringing to all of us so that we can learn together on a table in the wilderness. My friends, I love you, but more than that, God loves you. He cares about you. He sees you where you are. He's going to see all of us through because His word is true. And the word of God says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that every person listening would be challenged and would find themselves with a hunger and a desire to be your child. For those that are having a hard time breaking through, for those that are searching for you, that are seeking you, for those that are looking for an answer, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would reach out and touch their heart and show them that you are real, God. Reveal to them your truth, that you love them. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And love that has